Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you.
Jesus came with his disciples into the house. Again, the crowd gathered, making it impossible for them even to eat. When his relatives heard of this, they set out to seize him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today in the Gospel, we see a very important way of looking at Jesus and a very important way for us to follow him and the consequences of following him. Jesus was considered by his cousins, as we see in this Gospel, crazy, literally out of himself. He wasn't really in possession of himself. We have seen this before when he was in Nazareth and he started to speak like no person had spoken. When he was in that synagogue of Nazareth, they tried to kill him, throwing him off the precipice on which Nazareth had been built. We see Jesus was simply not thinking the way other people think. Earlier this week, we encountered the fact that he had the distinct talent to get archenemies, the Pharisees and the scribes on the one hand, who were incredible rigorists, and the Sadducees, on the other, the connected political class of compromising, slithering laxists. He got them to unite to plot to murder him. Jesus, when he spoke like nobody would speak. Everybody in the world knows that in order to be happy, you have to be rich. Jesus said you had to be born spirit. That you had to be sexy and have all your sexual fantasies fulfilled. And Jesus said you need to be pure in heart. How he needed to finish fights that others started and teach people lessons they'd never forget. Jesus says instead you have to be meek and a peacemaker. The world knows that the way to happiness is to be popular, to be liked, to be well thought of. Jesus said, no, rather, happy are you, blessed are you, when everybody hates your guts and persecutes you. Because of me. And that was just the start. Jesus said, we've got to forgive those who have hurt us 70 times, 7 times. What a card for being a victim that seems to be. Jesus says that we have to turn the other cheek, not fight back so that they'd never slap us again. Jesus says that rather than opposing our persecutors, we've got to pray for them. Perhaps worst of all, Jesus says that if we're going to be his disciple, we've got to strap ourselves into our own electric chair and turn on the juice. We've got to pick up our own cross each day and follow him. Sometimes, as Father Barron likes to say, we domesticate Jesus. We soften the radical nature of his life and what it calls to us. But it is a very important description that according to the mindset of the world, Jesus was out of his mind. He was out of himself. That expression in Greek is important because it precisely describes why he was considered crazy. Because in the world, the worldly principle is basically watch out for yourself first and above all, because nobody else is. And to be out of yourself literally meant that he was constantly thinking about others, thinking about God, thinking about others, giving of himself, pouring himself to overflowing, concerned about laying his life down to save others' lives, including those who would be hammering him to a cross, mocking and humiliating him. He was prepared to do that rather than to protect himself. Out of himself, there's a particular type of Christian craziness. that Jesus himself embodies and calls us to follow. St. Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, would say, we are fools for Christ. And the holiest of us all will be the most foolish of all in the eyes of the world. Let's think about this. The whole message of mercy is foolish. That we say that we need to have mercy even for ISIS or killing Christians, that we need to be praying for them, for their conversion, for their ultimate good. Mindset of the world, that's crazy. We're crazy to leave all the prospects in the world and become a priest or a religious. You know, the most popular name for a priest among young people is Father, what a waste, tossing his life away. Likewise for sisters, how crazy it seems that you would leave everything and leave your freedom behind in order to profess obedience, leave marriage and family behind, what great goods, in order to be chaste your entire life, leave material possessions behind, not own a thing in the world, through the profession of poverty. To the world, it is crazy. And then it goes on. Throughout this life, the small little things we take seriously, whereas the world thinks they're not that important. But we recognize that sanctity is in these very little things. Not to mention church teaching, that we're so contrary to the age that you would go down yesterday to witness to life, that we actually care for one cell human embryos who can't feel anything, who can't be vengeful to us, that we're willing to dedicate our entire life to their protection. The church's teachings on marriage and sexuality, the church's teaching about the dignity of every single human person. To the world it makes no sense, but that's who we are as Christians, fools for Christ, God as it were, living out his own foolishness within us. Today, in the first reading, we see a real fool in David. Saul had been hunting him down. Three times, Saul couldn't overcome his envy. And every time Saul wept and said, "Ooh, I'm sorry, it was a mistake, you're really on my side," eventually, Saul would flip again and try to pursue David. Saul was killed in the process of hunting down David. And when they brought news to David, what was David's response? It was similar to the craziness when he found out that his son Absalom, who was trying to kill him because he had already attempted to usurp his throne, when the news came to him about the death of his son Absalom, he responded in exactly the same way. Not, "Woo, now tonight I can sleep in peace." It was copious tears, weeping over Saul, his persecutor's death. Because what David really wanted was not Saul's throne. What he really wanted was Saul's friendship. He wanted Saul's goodness. He wanted his holiness. And Saul died outside. He grieved for Saul. And when he was thinking about Saul and remembering, we've just got a small little portion of it here, he remembered all that he had done for Israel rather than how he had turned on David, because David wasn't looking at it through subjectivistic lenses. He was out of his mind compared to the way most people would live. But we Christians are called to be fools in that same way, not to be like everybody else. And the greatest fools of all we know are the saints. They're the ones who always show us the craziness of following Christ to the letter and to the full. Today we celebrate one of them, St. Mary Ann Cope. She had to care for her father who had lost his mind, and it delayed her vocation. She had been born in Germany, but she emigrated with her family. She was the eldest of 10, here to the state of New York, to Utica. And eventually, after her father died and the kids in the family were old enough, in a sense, not to need the second mom of the older sister, she was finally able to enter the Sisters of St. Francis. She thought she would become a teacher, but she was gifted in organization. So she was given greater service in the community as it stretched out. Eventually, after she had been in for 20 years, she was the provincial superior. When she received a letter from the civil head of Hawaii, who had written to 50 religious orders already, asking for help for sisters to come to Hawaii and care for the lepers. She got the letter as the provincial superior. And she said, "We ought to go, I will ask." And she wanted to be the first one to go. And so with five other sisters in 1883, at the age of 45, she arrived in Hawaii. How crazy that was. According to the spiritual worldliness that it can occasionally infect religious institutes, she was the superior general. She was in charge. She had so much that she was already doing. She had built a couple hospitals up there around Syracuse and everything else, and the order definitely needed her organizational acumen. To go out to Hawaii for the whole rest of her life? Crazy. But then when she gets there, she's running a hospital in Oahu, sets another one up in Hawaii, but then the civil administration changes what's happened in Kaulupapa and Molokai, where they were no longer allowing the ways it previously was in the determination of leprosy before they would go out there. They had to go out there before even the confirmed diagnosis and everything else. St. Damien of Molokai was beginning to age and he was worried about what would take place. And when it became clear that some of the sisters who were already in Hawaii needed to go on the death sentence of the ministry there in Kalupapa, she, even though she was the spirit of the community again, said, "I'm going." She went with two other sisters. They had 103 girls. They eventually had to care for all the men, so caring for 800 lepers, feeding them, helping in their burials, running the choir, trying to teach kids in school. She was doing it all to the point of exhaustion. The other sisters who were with her had reached their limits. They were writing letters home. We see how difficult the life was. But she was always full of joy. And you see in her letters that that wasn't fake. That she was crazy enough to like what she was doing and to love those whom she was serving, even though they stunk, even though they were repulsive to look at. She was able to meet Christ in each of them. She was truly crazy. Tomorrow the church will celebrate St. Francis de Sales, who had a great difficulty in following his vocation because his dad had already prepared him to be a famous senator in Savoy. But he was eventually able to get his dad's permission because he was made vicar general the day after his ordination. He's made a chapter, the cathedral chapter, prefect of the cathedral chapter of Canon the day after his ordination. He had gotten all the benefices. He was going to be a prominent priest, and his dad would allow him to become a prominent anything. But 9 months after, his bishop, whom he was serving as his right-hand man, had come to the entire presbyterate of Geneva, which was now in Annecy, because in Geneva the Calvinists were murdering the Christian, and said, "We need to re-evangelize, and I need a priest to go up. It's an assignment in which you will be hunted down." Francis de Sales stood forward, 9 months a priest, and said, "If you think I'm worthy of the assignment, I am very happy to be chosen." And he went, even though it meant sometimes sleeping in trees as the dogs that were sent on out to hunt down those who were walking were barking at the bottom of the tree. Even in, and you can imagine, the Alps during winter sleeping outside. He almost died because of frostbite. When he was lucky, he could sleep in the military garrisons. It was very, very difficult work. But eventually he brought the whole Chablais region back to the type of true Christian craziness, which is the gospel. So now it comes for us. Do we want to be well thought of? Or are we comfortable being thought crazy? Not just by the wackos of the world, but are we comfortable being thought a little crazy even by those whose opinions we really value? Because the more radical we get in this, that's what happens. And the toughest of the persecution is not being labeled by the head of Planned Parenthood. The toughest is being labeled by somebody that we're very close to. Sometimes they just will never get us. They'll think that we're a little crazy, and sometimes we are. Let's not think that we don't have some issues. We all do. But there's a particular type of crazy holiness that we need to be willing to suffer for. Consecrated life is crazy. The priesthood is crazy. We both believe that what starts as bread and wine becomes God. At a simple human level, that seems the craziest thing. The most important thing that happens in the entire world, something worth trotting through a blizzard on an early Saturday morning, is worth it. But it's here. God is here. God is here. It is crazy. St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians a few chapters before. He said, we are accounted fools for Christ. He said, God chooses the fools. He chooses the fools to shame those who are wise. And he says that the greatest of all wisdom is foolishness to the world. He said, the cross is a folly for the Gentiles, but to those who believe, to those who are called, it is the wisdom of God. Today, we come to Jesus' house. Not to say that he's out of his mind in a bad way, but to thank him for being out of himself, out of his mind, and for being so crazy that he's called us to be a fool with him. This is the gospel. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Heaven and earth.